So we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23. Maharaj Prithu is going back home. Text number 28. Savanchito Bhattatmadruk.
Savanchito Bhattatmadruk.
Krikshtrena Mahata Bhuvi.
Krikshtrena Mahata Bhuvi.
Labdha Bhavargyam Manusham. Vikshayeshu visajjate,
Vikshayeshu visajjate,
Sala hi
vanchita,
vanchita, chire,
vada,
certainly,
certainly,
Amadruk,
Amadruk,
envious of himself,
envious of himself,
Krishna,
Krishna,
with great difficulty,
Mahata,
by great activities. Bhuvi, in this world. Lavra, by achieving. Apavargyam, the path of liberation.
Manusham,
in the human form of life. Vishayeshu, in the matter of sense gratification. Visajjate, becomes engaged. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Any person who engages himself in this material world in performing activities that necessitate great struggle, and who after obtaining a human form of life, which is a chance to obtain liberation from miseries, undertakes the difficult task of fruitive activities, must be considered to be cheated and envious of his own self. Please repeat, any person who engages himself within this material world,
any person who engages himself within this material world,
in performing activities that necessitate great struggle,
in performing activities that necessitate great struggle,
and who after attaining a human form of life,
and who after attaining a human form of life,
which is a chance to obtain liberation from miseries,
which is a chance to obtain liberation from miseries,
undertakes a difficult task of fruitive activities,
undertakes a difficult task of fruitive activities,
must be considered to be cheated,
must be considered to be cheated,
and envious of his own self,
and envious of his own self.
Purport. In this material world, people are engaged in different activities simply to achieve a little success in sense gratification. Karmis are engaged in performing very difficult activities, and thus they open gigantic factories, build huge cities, and make big scientific discoveries, etc. In other words, they're engaged in performing very costly sacrifices in order to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Similarly, yogis are engaged in achieving a similar goal by accepting the tedious practices of mystic yoga. Gyanis are engaged in philosophical speculation in order to gain release from the clutches of material nature. In these ways, everyone is engaged in performing very difficult tasks simply for sense gratification, of the senses, for the gratification of the senses. All these are considered to be engaged in sense gratificatory activities, or vishaya, because they all demand some facility of material existence. Actually, the result of such activities are temporary. As Krishna himself proclaims in the Bhagavad Gita 7.23, Antavatupalam Tesham. The fruits of those who worship the demigods are limited and temporary. Thus the fruits of the activities of the yogis, karmis, and gyanis are ephemeral. Moreover, Krishna said, Tadvavakyalpravedasam. They are simply meant for men of small intelligence. The word vishaya denotes sense gratification. The karmis flatly state that they want sense gratification. The yogis also want sense gratification, they want it to a higher degree. It is their desire to show some miraculous results through the practice of yoga. Thus they strive very hard to achieve success in becoming smaller than the smallest, but greater than the greatest. Or in creating a planet like Earth, or a scientist by inventing so many wonderful machines. Similarly, the Gyanis are also engaged in sense gratification, but they are simply interested in becoming one with the Supreme. Thus the aim of all these activities is sense gratification to a higher or lower degree. The Bhaktis, however, are not interested in sense gratificatory practices. They are simply satisfied to get an opportunity to serve the Lord. Although they are satisfied in any condition, there is nothing they cannot obtain because they are purely engaged in the service of the Lord. The wives of the demigods condemn the performers of sense gratificatory activities as vanchita, cheating. Those so engaged are actually killing themselves, atmaha, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.20.17. Nriyam deham adhya subalam sudurvalam alam sukalpam guru karnadaram mayam kulena na vasvate ritam puman bhavad din nataret atmaha. When one wants to cross a large ocean, it requires a large boat. It is said that this human form of life is a good boat by which one can cross the ocean of nations. In the human form of life, one can obtain the guidance of a good navigator, the spiritual master. One can get a favorable wind by the mercy of Krishna, and that wind is the instructions of Krishna. The human body is the boat, the instructions of Krishna are the favorable winds, and the spiritual master is the navigator. Spiritual master knows well how to adjust the sails, catch the winds favorably, and steer the boat to its destination. If, however, one does not take advantage of this opportunity, one wastes the human form of life. Wasting time and life in this way is the same as committing suicide. The word labdva pavargam is significant in this verse because according to Jiva Goswami, apavargam, or the path of liberation, does not refer to merging into the impersonal Brahman, but to salokyadi siddhi, which means attaining the very planet where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. There are five kinds of liberation, and one is called sayujamukti, or merging into the existence of the Supreme, or the impersonal Brahman effulgence. However, since there is a chance of one's falling down again into this material sky from the Brahman effulgence, Srila Jiva Goswami advises that in this human form of life, one's only aim should be to go back home, back to Godhead. The words of Vanchita indicate that once a person has obtained the human form of life, he is actually cheated if he does not make preparation to go back home, back to Godhead. The position of all non-devotees not interested in going back to Godhead is very much lamentable. The human form of life is meant for executing devotional service and nothing else. Savanchito padatma dhru krichena mahatabhuvi labdhapavargyan manusham vishayan vishu vishayeshu sasajite. Any person who engages himself within this mature world in performing activities that necessitate great struggle and who, after attaining a human form of life, has a chance to attain liberation from miseries, undertakes the difficult task of fruitive activities, must be considered to be cheated and envious of his own self. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadhuja Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvi Shesha Shindavati Paska Vyade Siddharna. In this verse, the opportunity of human form of life is mentioned. Generally speaking, as Krishna says, Hevidu Swarthikin Vishnu, people don't know that the aim of life is to reach Vishnu. Why? Because hardly they know anything about Vishnu. even if they theoretically know something about Vishnu, they have very little experience of who actually is Vishnu. It's a little difficult because in order to know Vishnu, actually know Vishnu, one has to perform devotional service. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam Adijanati Yavam Yaschasmi Tatvataha Tatomam Tatvato Yatva Vishite Tad Anandaram. Now what one can know me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by devotional service, and when one is, absorbed in devotional service, he can actually enter into the mysteries of my understanding. To know Krishna theoretically is not to know very much about him. To actually come to the spiritual platform and experience transcendental pleasure, transcendental awareness perpetually, is to begin to know something about Krishna. The problem is, as Prabhupada would always say, we're like frogs in a well. We're in this well of conditional life called the material body, and we think everything that exists is within my well. And that if something is outside my well, it couldn't be that important. Because after all, I'm the most important, and therefore I'm the standard for all experience. If someone is described what goes beyond my experience, it's not possible that it exists, or if it could exist, it's not that much outside the realm of my experience. So to understand that there is a person named Bhagavan who has unlimited beauty is completely beyond our experience. Everything we've experienced since we've been in the material world has been conditioned, not only conditioned, but of a very limited nature. So how can we begin to understand something that has unlimited qualities? It's not possible. All we can do is try to become humble and accept that we can't understand. That's the beginning of understanding. What to speak of someone who's unlimited powerful? Someone who can sit in everyone's heart and not get confused. We're in one heart, we're already confused. There's one heart. And we have to sit in two people's hearts, we get completely bewildered. But Krishna is able to do it, and at the same time not get confused, be able to be completely neutral. Dishamam tani karmani vibhanda dhidanandaya udasinanda asinanda sakantesu karmasu. O Arjuna, all this world cannot bind me, and ever detached, seated as though neutral. So how Krishna can do it, how can we know? We can't know, it's impossible. Because we can't even begin to understand how to live in this body without attachment, what to speak of more than one body, or say 10 bodies, 100 bodies, 1 million bodies, 10 billion bodies, 100,000 trillion bodies. It's bewildering to us. Therefore, the natural tendency, as soon as we hear something that bewilders us, we just reject it as impossible. It's unfair. It's undemocratic. Why should he be God forever? Why should he have all the power? Therefore, better to put aside our recognize, first of all, that we're in a bewildered condition and not take our present state of awareness, understanding things too seriously. Put them aside and then try to understand what is actually going on. So here it says there are many varieties of material experience. Of which our material experience is just one variety. So generally the conditioned soul, he thinks that maybe there are other varieties outside my limited experience, and therefore let me try for them. Although all the other things he generally tries for are also just perhaps not as limited as his present experience, but also within the realm of limited experience. If a cow is tied up and he can only move a few feet, when he's given twice as much rope to move around it, He thinks it's freedom. But after all, he's still tied up by a rope. Similarly, to become a jnani or a yogi, or to get more material opulences, or even to go to heavenly planets, is all within the realm of bondage. But of course, most people don't even consider these things because they're so completely bound up by modern misleading education. They can't even consider that they can be anything beyond simply making money for sense gratification. They think the new iPod phone comes out, then they're really making light of advancement. Before, there was hardly any pleasure in talking to my wife or children or business partners, but now with a new iPod phone, they'll be ecstatic. The words will flow like nectar. So that's what they have to look forward to. They don't think to be progressive iPod and phones, I'm simply going a little closer to my leaving my body. So eventually they'll use the iPod phone to mention the fact that, oh, he left his body. So this is the perfection. If people can somehow or another get attention and iPod phone, they think their life has become perfect and complete. They can't conceive of anything beyond that. And if their football team wins, then they got some extra bonus. Beyond that, they have no conception. And they, not only that, but they believe that any conception beyond that is pure mythology. Not only couldn't exist, but it shouldn't exist. So Prabhupada says they're envious of their own selves. If they hear that they're eternal, they say that that's horrible. They actually become angry when they hear that they're eternal. What to speak of that is the eternal God, and no one can compete with them. Then they become completely frustrated. Because their only pleasure is thinking, I have an iPod phone, and therefore someone else doesn't have one, therefore I'm better than they are. That's the standard. Their only happiness is thinking that they're better. Then they call up all their friends, telling them that I finally got an iPod phone. Aren't I a good person? So here it says the jnanis, the yogis, the karmis, they're limited. Those words for the demigods, their fruits are limited and temporary. Probably even puts the big business people, the factories, everything else, in worshiping the demigods. Although, these things are actually not worshiping the demigods. Maybe demigods in the modes of ignorance or something, but getting ignorant fruits. But everything is awarded according to our austerity. So we go through the austerity of material sense gratification, then Krishna will certainly provide us the results of our austerity. Now because people are so have such limited knowledge, they don't even know sense gratification. They think eating McDonald's hamburger is sense gratification. But whose senses are actually gratified by eating a McDonald's hamburger? People actually feel good after they eat a McDonald's hamburger? I doubt it. I'm sure they get sick. But they're so used to getting sick, they feel good about being sick. Finally, I'm sick again, now I feel normal. Before I was getting a little healthier, I didn't know what to do with my life. And now I'm back in the darkness of ignorance and I don't have to think very much anymore. No, the water's contaminated, the food's contaminated, it has no energy, and practically speaking, The air is contaminated, they're breathing, people's relationships are disturbing, the water they're sleeping is disturbed, they can't even sleep, they can't feel any security, they're completely anxiety 24 hours a day, and they think they're happy. Or they think they're making progress. But what kind of progress is that? If there's a big sign, you know, hell, tortures, unlimited varieties, we pull out your teeth first and then your intestines, and then we lop off your limbs, you know. Come and join. You think, wow, how much does it cost? So people are paying for their torture. And they're thinking, I wish they could come out with a new machine to torture me with. I'm getting tired of this old machine, you know. It takes, you know, they're plucking one tooth at a time. I wish I had a machine that could pluck out five. So modern advancement means simply torturing people more, and they're paying for it. And they become disturbed if there's an economic recession, and they can't destroy themselves quick enough. Just like the internet, now they have all this wireless. I mean, what information are they actually getting that's so important? But who knows what the effect of wireless is, how it's frying everyone's brain. So they think they made an advancement. The whole world is covered by wireless, by some kind of vibration. So you can find out all the bad news happening everywhere, all the time. And the consequence is, you know, in 20 years you find out the reason why people were so interested in watching the internet was because the wireless fried their brains and they didn't have any brain. So they had nothing else to do but to watch the internet because they couldn't do anything else. On the other hand, that there's a higher taste that's attainable by Krishna consciousness. Although it may seem rather simple, simplistic, that there's a God, he has unlimited pleasure, but if one is able to execute the process of devotional service after hearing adequately, properly from the right source, and becomes convinced that there is a Krishna, and he is the unlimited personality that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he has unlimited pleasure. And therefore, by serving him, if one is able to experience some of that unlimited pleasure, then one is able to understand there is unlimited pleasure. There's an unlimited realm of experience. And therefore, I cannot conceive of it now. How can we conceive of a world, people go to it, God's there, like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumara goes to Vaikuntha. And there, he goes through one gate after another, and it's described all the opulence there. But for us who can't experience that opulence, who have no idea what's to God, it doesn't mean very much, except that maybe it exists. But he seems quite impressed by it. And he's impressed when he sees the palace of Lord Narayan. Although what is Lord Narayan doing? He's being fanned by Chamara Wis, they're feeding him betel nuts. There's nothing big going on. He's not lifting weights, he's not running a marathon, he's not even watching the internet. There's no movies going on. He's not exhibiting, you know, karate and killing demons, right? No, he's just sitting there eating betel nuts. But Gopakumara seems quite impressed because he's overwhelmed with transcendental bliss and ecstasy and pleasure by seeing Lord Narayan and his different personalities who accompany him, like the goddesses of fortune. But we can't understand it unless we enter into the spiritual existence. and actually experience a variety of pleasure that go on. Then all this passion activity to look for pleasure doesn't mean very much because they're already immersed in pleasure. All this passion activity that's going on is to find some kind of pleasure. But if you're already absorbed in pleasure, what do you have to run around looking for it for? It's already there. A person who has $100 billion, he doesn't go to work, you know, at a supermarket thinking he'll make some money. He already has money. A person who's eating a big feast, he's not on the internet finding out what's a good restaurant to go to. He's already there. So one who's actually absorbed in transcendental pleasure, he doesn't have to worry about all these passion activities or the ignorant activities or even the mode of goodness activities, because he's actually attained the goal. So in one sense, the devotees are very fortunate because we already attained the goal. We're already situated in the goal. The only thing is we have to realize what it is. We're already situated in the greatest opportunity to realize Krishna and to become completely absorbed in transcendental happiness and awareness perpetually. But we just have to take little of it. That is, perform devotional activities in the pure consciousness of trying to satisfy Krishna. And what will satisfy Krishna? It's first of all to understand our position clearly, and then realize what his mission is, namely to help people become Krishna conscious, to realize, to understand clearly, scientifically, systematically, that there is a God, and it's not us, it's Krishna, and then to explain it scientifically, systematically to others, so they can take up the process of devotional service and realize Krishna also. Krishna is not so much impressed by exactly what we accumulate, even in his service. He's impressed that we actually do something from his service with a proper attitude, or at least develop that attitude. Then if he can reveal himself, and even if we get the tiniest fraction of a drop of the ocean of bliss and become overwhelmed by that, then we know what direction of life to take. Then it's clear what is the actual purpose of life. People, they don't know that Krishna is actually the goal. That's what they're looking for. He's the dearmost friend. He's the dearmost lover of everyone. He's the source of all happiness. And when one comes in contact with that happiness, Rūnāti vichālayate tam labha labhate yam labha manite tathā. Yatra paramate chitanya rudam yoga sevaya yatra chevatmana panamana pashanamani tushiti sukama dyantikam yatta buddhigrahim tindriyam vedi yatran chavayam sukham chalati tatvidha yam labha chakalam labham manyate nadikam vidha yasmin sito nidukena grunati vichayate. Upon gain, when he is able to see Krishna with one's transcendental senses, one is situated in a state of highest happiness and enjoys himself with transcendental senses. In such a state, one thinks that there's no greater gain, and in such a state, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty, one is not disturbed. There's so much transcendental pleasure that even if there's so-called material difficulty, one doesn't even consider it very significant. So that's possible by the process of devotional service. But as explains here, yatra paramate chitam nirudam yoga sevaya. Even for the yogis, that state of perfection is called transfer samadhi, when one's mind is... What is the mind? It's not agitated. It's situated in transcendence. So, we have to understand clearly that the insignificant accomplishments of the karmis, having a big building to live in, a nice car, their sense gratification, whatever else, power. Or we can go to the heavenly planets where these things are thousands of times greater than this planet. Or even getting almost the power like in Siddhaloka. Or even going to Brahmaloka and having the life of 311 trillion 40 billion years. Or merging to Brahman and living perpetually as a spiritual being. They're not goals of life that are worthy of a person who's actually trying to become a devotee of Krishna. That the purpose, the attempt to become a devotee of Krishna so much surpasses these things that Kumara said they're just like broken pieces of glass into a diamond. So we have to become convinced what is the actual goal, then we can fix our minds without disturbance and actually begin to experience what Krishna consciousness is. Thank you. Any questions?
Says Brian approves.
Oh, then we have to stop the class.
Do you have an announcement?
Yeah, we have to be the different arrangements, so just everybody get out of here and then I will.
Okay. Radharaj, Shri Mataji.